Ray Hyatt. I'm at Tufts University. Right now I'm at the Friedman School of Nutrition, and you might wonder what someone in a school of nutrition is doing working with immigrant occupational health problems. I'm a sociologist, and I work on a lot of different projects at Tufts. I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors on this presentation, Professor Gut from Tufts, and three of our immigrant community leaders in Somerville, and also Marcy Goldstein-Gell from MassCosh. We have an R01 from NIEHS, which is a four-year project to look at assessing and intervening in immigrant occupational health in Somerville, Massachusetts. Our partners on that R01 are the Immigrant Service Providers Group, the Haitian Coalition Brazilian Women's Group, and several other community organizations. By the way, the pictures are all of Somerville, and were taken by our community partners to document the work that we're doing, but also to help show our work to other people. The project has three research goals. We are doing an annual needs assessment of occupational health and safety among immigrant workers in Somerville, which is not necessarily an easy task. Not all the workers are documented, and they don't all want to talk to us. So we have we designed into our project a task to develop a group of fluently bilingual teenage children of new immigrants in Somerville to help us both develop the survey and implement it in the immigrant community in Somerville. And that's what I'm going to really talk about. We also are working on the startup of a new community organization which will provide occupational health and safety training, education, and health services to Brazilian domestic workers. We have community goals built into our project, the first of which and foremost really in our minds is to transfer research capability to the community. And that's happening in a number of ways, one of which is what I'm going to talk about today, what we call teen educators for lack of a better term. We started with peer leaders and kind of worked our way to something that is more indicative of what they're really doing. We're also we also have our immigrants community service providers involved in the analysis of the data and dissemination of the results, as well as creating the community service. So let me talk about the what the teens are actually doing. They started with helping us develop this baseline immigrant worker survey, and we gave them really a lot of the responsibility for this. So they started coming up with the questions, the layout of the survey, the format, with assistance from their community partners, with some review and editing by Tufts faculty and researchers. The processing involved Tufts really to instruct the teen educators and community partners on aspects of asking research questions in an appropriate way and preparing surveys. We also gave them instruction on IRB rules and regulations and why the IRB was important and what it meant. That was pretty interesting because they didn't always see the need for the IRB in the same way that we did. And I think if you do community-based research, you probably have had that experience. This whole process resulted in a substantial transfer of knowledge to the community and in capability in research to the teens and community partners. Several of our community partners have become IRB certified independent investigators through the Tufts IRB. Of course, the teens can't qualify for that, but our community partners have, and that's a pretty significant transfer. So here's the survey that they came up with. And it's a one-page survey. It's they implement this survey at health fairs and community events, mostly with community organization support in Somerville. And you can see that if you look at, read through some of this, you can kind of pick up their own language. There are definitely things in the survey that are stated differently than we might as academics say. We might, for example, not say thank you for taking the time to answer these questions. We might have said, you know, thank you for your participation or something like that. We might not have said, you know, who do you work for? We might have, I can imagine, you know, a meeting where that sentence might have been parsed several times. And, you know, who is your employer, maybe, or something like that. The questions were really developed by the teens. We helped them. The community partners spent a lot of time doing this. And they implement this in the immigrant community in Somerville, where they can ask these questions of the immigrant population, where we probably wouldn't have that kind of access. The teen educators also helped develop the verbal consent for the survey. This was another area where spent a lot of time training and giving them historical examples of why consent is important, what it means to get consent. There have been some minor issues with understanding what consent is and how important it is. And we did several trainings with them to practice going through the consent form so that they could get consent verbally from the immigrant participants before they implemented the survey. And you can see the consent form has a lot more academic speak in it. Compliance with our own IRB issues. However, they really had a lot of input on what the consent looked like and also understanding how the consent should work. So we asked two of our teen educators what they had learned through their involvement with this project and putting together this survey and implementing it. And they both reported that they hadn't really thought too much about work other than you have to do it. And they also acknowledged that they both see themselves as contributing to the family economy, which we think is generally true in immigrant families and probably true in lower income families in general, but certainly in this population is very true. Roberto, one of our teen, he's not Roberto here, but Roberto is one of our teen educators, he said he's now aware of rights as a worker and things like, you know, what age should you be to do certain jobs, what kind of jobs should you not be asked to do, and even in general that there was such a thing as rights that applied to workers. Was something that he hadn't really thought about before working on the project. And of course, that you should learn about and avoid hazards in your at work. Daphne said something similar, that work can be hazardous. She hadn't really thought about that in these ways. And both learning what to do to protect yourself and also learning what to do and where to go if you were injured on the job. And that was part of our survey asking immigrant workers where they would seek medical assistance if they were injured on the job. So we've learned a lot from them. They've learned a lot from us. The following are some comments from our community partners, which I think really show the level of learning that has gone on between the community partners and the teens. These meetings and these comments that I'm going to show mostly happened without Tufts people being there, faculty and researchers. These were really comments that they gave us on meetings that they held independently. One of the areas that teens noted was working at supermarkets, jobs like baggers and stockroom checkout, are held by both the teens and adults in the immigrant community. And the teens started to think about their jobs in supermarkets and talk about things like aching feet and sore backs and sore wrists from doing the scanning, which they hadn't thought about as really being an occupational hazard. This is from one of our community partners, a community leader in Somerville. The learning piece for them, for the community organization, was that the training materials tend to focus on you know, the big things like getting your shirt stuck in the wood chipper and burns from hot fat and back injuries. And though everyone knew that supermarket jobs could involve physical problems, they kind of thought of it as this is just part of the job, or, you know, I feel bad today, but I'll feel better in a day or two. And they sort of wrote it off as not being really a work hazard. So, and this is again from the community partner, and this was actually the leader of the Immigrant Service Providers Group. He said the next step for his group was to reflect this back to the students, and they then put together a session on their own where they spent some time talking about wrist injuries, and they did a short anatomy lesson on the complexities of the joint and carpal tunnel, and which I think was important for both the leaders as well as the teens. The lesson is that these teens are really mirroring the attitudes of adult immigrant workers, and which is that these low-level injuries are not that important. They're just part of the job. They're just part of the work. And they accept that as natural. It's just the way things are. And the cumulative effect, of course, can be pretty serious. And I thought this was really interesting that, and this came from the community partner, again, that, and not from Tufts researchers, that they came up with the notion that, gee, interventions at an earlier stage would prevent much of this. And the challenge to them that they identified was how to shift the perception of what is natural and just part of the job to something that should be changed and addressed as an occupational safety issue. So the last picture is a picture of our community partner, Alex Peary, who runs the Immigrant Service Providers Group, and a couple of our graduate students and some of our teen educators at a workshop day where we focused on a couple of role-playing sessions and brought together three of the projects in Massachusetts that are involved with immigrant service with immigrant workers. Occupational safety. That's it. Thank you very much.